The Occupy America movement might be better served if we all made an effort to first occupy consciousness. This is a title of a book written by today's guest, Peter McGugin. Of course, we all are occupying consciousness, and the exciting part of that is we are living in a time when many of us are looking into what that truly means. Peter is involved with a global summit in post-Olympics London to speak and show films encouraging and embracing the love of these times. I'm Robin Clare. Stay tuned. This is Tributaries. Peter, give us a brief look into what led you into a life focused on developed consciousness. Was there a defining moment for you?
You know, I think that we've all seen films like What the Bleep Do We Know that made us wonder, gee, there's a lot more to that, isn't there? And so just along the way, you know, I was exposed to things that made me realize that as humans, we're really not exploring how energy creates life as well as we might be, and that we're funding the kind of science and technology that energizes the Industrial Revolution. But what we've maybe not paid attention to is how this realm of orchestrating architectural presence that we call consciousness, this realm of energy that we call creation, pure creation, is actually creating life. And I think that it has to get bad enough before people change and wake up and fix their story. And I think that that's the shift that we're experiencing now, is that we're reaching the bad enough point that masses of people are going to realize that there needs to be a better way. And I think we've fallen out of love with bigness and the belief that bigness is going to take care of us and our community and our quality of life. So all of those things just led me to want to devote myself to write about this. You know, I was a network television journalist in Canada and wrote books there and became a speaker. And I thought that this was the most important thing that I could be writing about.
It's funny. It puts a whole new spin on "we have arrived," doesn't it? We have arrived.
Well, and, you know, my book is called Occupy Consciousness, and you know, the word occupy is something that's being thrown around a lot. But you know, we're all occupying something in our life. We're occupying the thoughts in our head. It's amazing that you know, humanity is staging this occupation of the planet, and we even call our contribution to the Industrial Revolution and to the economy our occupation. And I think it's time for us to maybe stop and pause and think about what we're occupying, the beliefs that we're occupying, and where we are on the spectrum of consciousness. And, you know, that's something that as I researched the new science of consciousness and I used peer-reviewed journal-published research that shows us that this orchestrating architectural realm of energy is creating us, and that it functions with photons and light, and that there is a spectrum of consciousness, and that we're all on that spectrum. And so at the high level of consciousness, we're feeling peaceful, creative, inspired, in harmony with life. And then as we go down into the lower spectrums, you know, we're getting into addictions and we're getting into competing and comparing and chaos and conflict and things like that. And we seem to cross the line from higher consciousness into lower consciousness levels when we start comparing and competing. And that pulls us out of ourself or out of our centeredness. And we start to live life in a different way. So, you know, one of the things that I'm doing with my work is having people look at that and at least consider where we are on the spectrum of consciousness, the kind of thoughts that are coming into your heads, the kind of memories that are coming into your head. And as we use the meditative techniques that I'm teaching people on the website, and using gratitude and love to raise our vibrations and open our awareness, and we lift ourselves up into higher spectrums of consciousness, and that's where creation is. That's where we really connect and experience things like flow and synchronicity.
I certainly follow all of those aspects you're talking about with consciousness, but I think the place we really need to start is that we are already, and we are occupying consciousness. So when we move from there, you know, let's even get away from the high and the low. And of course, yes, we do want to have that flow in our experience that is not stressed. And once we can pay more attention to those things you were just talking about, what is, you know, what are we consciously doing? What are we thinking? What are we responding and reacting to? That obviously is what's going to bring more into our awareness and bring more of what we want into our awareness. But it's not a, I've got consciousness, you don't. And I know you aren't projecting that, but I just felt like it was an important thing to say, because words like high and low, you know, they're like, oh no, am I a low consciousness person? You know, there's too much judgment, I think, that can go along with that. And that's one of the things we want to jump out of.
Well, we are all on the spectrum of consciousness, because, you know, once again, we're using a word. The consciousness is simply a word, like all words, pointing in the direction of an authentic presence, a real energy. And so sometimes we can get lost in the words. We can equate the spectrum of consciousness with light. So that if you have a dark space and a light that's on a dimmer, and you begin to turn that light on, the space is, you know, kind of starts out as being black and white, and you can't really see much definition, and it's kind of vague, and you can't function in that space and utilize and be a part of the energy in that space until you increase that light so that there is definition and depth and some color in the spectrum. And then when we increase the light even more, now we're able to see and perceive and witness and participate and co-create and be with that space. Consciousness is somewhat the same way in terms of how it functions. And I absolutely agree with you that the point of considering consciousness as being a spectrum of something kind of like light, or a light beyond light that we see with our eyes, it's not to point fingers and judge, but I feel that what I'm doing is offering an invitation of awareness, and to offer the ways for us to, through gratitude and love, to authentically raise our vibration, to open that awareness and that presence of consciousness that we already are, and for people to just notice how their quality of experience with life and their creativity and their sense of peace and gratitude and love responds to living and being at that vibration. You know, something that I'm having a lot of fun doing in speeches with live audiences now is having people become love and be that love, and to make love their being. And then to also invite people to then think of something they're very grateful for, and to allow that gratitude to open up and be their being. And then we talk about the differences in the two energies. And
is there,
in terms of being able to perceive the differences, it's imperceivable. So that love is that energy presence that we call love. And once again, love is not the word. Love is the energy of being that love presence. And so the difference between being gratitude and being love is imperceptible to us. And so is love simply expansive gratitude for what we're witnessing and experiencing with our moment?
I was just wondering if in your experience of this with your live audiences, is there any, is it an outflow or an inflow for gratitude as opposed to love? Or, you know, do people talk about that at all? Or is it always mostly an outgoing or an outflowing experience for them?
What a good question. We do talk about it when we're doing workshops and things like that. And we have individual experiences. And so if we decide to become a generator of love and gratitude, we can sense it as an outflow. There's a delicious space that we can be in when we're simply being that energy and then being willing to receive that energy. And I'm going to talk about myself now and my experience with it. I don't want to impose that on anyone, but I'll share it.
Yes.
And it is that life on Earth, for me, I'm experiencing it as the dream of creation's consciousness, the becoming of creation's consciousness through me as me and through all of us as us. So we're living in this realm of consciousness and creation, and there's, we are pure creation. I want you to think about your body now, and that when you cut your finger, where is the healing mechanism? And the healing mechanism is right there in the consciousness of the cells of your body. It's right there. And so we're seeing consciousness everywhere. We just premiered a film called The Consciousness of Water, and it's up on the website consciousworldsummit.com now. And you know, the new science of consciousness is realizing that water has memory, that it absorbs information from everything it comes in contact with, that water has 440,000 receptor panels and is attuning itself to what it's exposed to, and that we can rejuvenate the quality of water in our bodies and in our world, and that this rejuvenation can be measured and perceived by science now. And we can revitalize the water in our bodies and in our brains, and I'll give you the key, but the key involves love and gratitude. And so it's a very exciting time because, you know, there are people listening to the audio programs that we have up there, and they're experiencing some really beautiful rejuvenations and healings. If our waters are, you know, 70-80%, if our bodies are 70-80% water, and we're able to rejuvenate that and to actually love the vessel that we're inhabiting, if we're able to use the consciousness of our heart and our mind and our presence to give energy of gratitude and love back to our heart. So in other words, love your heart for how it served you and supported you in this body. Love your brain and feel grateful for this magnificent presence that is hosting your awareness. And when we spend some time doing that, the health benefits are rather profound.
Yes. Well, this is quite a time of awakening values and what is of value. And right now in Boulder, I'm on a break actually from talks that are being given at the Society for Scientific Exploration. And part of what they're doing is talking about the expansion of science itself. And as you just talked about how certain things can be measured now that were never, you know, we've never been able to measure scientifically before, all of the paradigm is shifting. And I'm wondering if there are any words or concepts that come to mind to you right now that are taking on a whole new meaning, or you see the need for a new meaning with these things.
I mean, I'm using the term creation consciousness a lot. It's something that I was able to step into and to be able to open up myself and my being to connect with that. There's a new awareness of the oneness of our world and the oneness of all of us. And, you know, I spent about 2 years researching oneness and gathering the new science so that it's easily understood and fun to read, so that you're sort of going, wow, you know, we can see how animals are using this field of energy called consciousness in order to navigate, in order to migrate, in order to know when their dogs that know when their owners are coming home, you know, the brilliant work of Rupert Sheldrake. And so there's a new awareness of oneness and how we are interconnected. And, you know, we only need to think of the picture of planet Earth from our own moon to look back on that, to see the interconnectedness of everything in and of our world. And it was convenient for aristocracies for several centuries, and it served the purposes of the Industrial Revolution to kind of unplug us from that awareness of oneness, so that we would believe that we could do whatever we needed to do over here industrially, and it would not affect quality of life over there. Well, of course, now oneness is something that we're seeing with climate crisis, and oneness is something that we're seeing with the mass consciousness.
Well, in speaking of the oneness, you know, and then here we are, we're doing workshops where we're saying, okay, well, let's give gratitude, you know, some energy. Let's give love some energy. What if we just go in and be energy? You know, wouldn't that just create a really massive, quicker shift or something? And I'm not after that. I don't need massive overnight change and we're all conscious when we wake up tomorrow. That would be nice, but everything is going to work out in its own way without my desires or direction, certainly. But what are you seeing in that way? Because I do feel like, personally, my experience is showing me that all the details can take care of themselves. I don't have to go off in all these different directions of separation, basically, separations.
Right. It is all about energy, isn't it? And, you know, we're already always being energy.
Right.
And we're being emotional energies, and we're being the energies of what we're believing, and we're being the energies of what we're striving to be, and all of these things. And it just really takes the bliss out of life in so many ways. And so I totally agree with you that it's stepping into space of realizing that everything is energy, interacting with energy. You know, this is something that your dog already knows, and it may be why they're sometimes a very good judge of character, better than we are, because they're energy interacting with energy. And actually, we were all that at about the age of four, that delightful age when the whole world is an adventure and a science experiment. And then we were taught to use our words, and we were taught to identify with things as words, and then we were taught to identify with things as brands and as dollar values, and we get further and further from the truth. And the truth is that you are energy interacting with energy at all times. You are able to choose the energy presence that you want to be at all times.
I wonder if that's really true.
Well,
an example.
I think it is. I think that we can choose how to respond to what's happening around us, and that we do that largely based on how we've been taught to respond and the scripts that we've been given and the neural pathways that we've created, so that when A happens, our response is B. But I think that those of us who've explored meditation, those of us who understand the infinite capacities that we have within us, have realized that, you know, through meditation and through the practice of being love and gratitude and higher consciousness, we respond to the world in a much more peaceful, allowing way. I spent about 2 years with the concept of allowing in my life, and to be a participant in the three-ring circus that is our world, and to find delight and entertainment with so much of what's going on and this transition that we're in now. We're seeing the collapse of an old paradigm. We're seeing the collapse of an old way, and the collapse is ongoing. We're seeing collapse in education. We're seeing collapse in quality of health care. We're seeing collapse in trust and confidence in big government and big business. We're seeing collapse on so many levels. And I think that this is the unfolding story of life at this time. And, you know, I think that what the community of consciousness and the culture creatives and whatever you want to call the community of awareness that you're a part of, it's all one community, you know, that we're realizing that this might be a very good time for us to be casting a net of enlightenment ready to catch the fall.
Yes, yes.
And that's what I feel that my path is at this point in life, and why I'm spending so much time in a room alone writing books and speeches and making films.
Peter, all of the things you mentioned that are collapsing became an addiction in a certain way, and that seeking out is a place, I think, where addiction gets started. And although addiction takes many forms, as a result of perhaps a very basic dissatisfaction or unknowing, how are you seeing the change taking place that is dissolving this addictive behavior? And I know, you know, as you mentioned, you lead meditations. And so I'm just wondering how you are seeing that change in focus dissolving that type of behavior.
My path led me to write a book about change and reinvention and the inner process and outer process of that. That led me to being invited to speak to the staff of the Betty Ford Clinic 5 years consecutively. And then that led to my seeing a missing piece in the addiction aftercare marketplace. And I created an aftercare program called Sobriety 911. I see that so much of the, if we want to call it a crisis, or the place that we're in as a culture right now, does absolutely stem from addiction. Greed is an addiction. Greed is an addiction. And when we are at those lower spectrums of consciousness, those measurable spectrums, the behavior patterns of people become very needy, very wanting, very greedy, because we've got that empty space inside, and we try to fill it with substances and experiences, and those can become addictive. Greed is an addiction, and one of the things that I feel that is happening right now is that we have a very, very small percentage, a 0.00001% of the population that's very greed addicted, and that is creating a system that is stratifying wealth, power, and influence upward in unprecedented ways. As that is happening, what we're also seeing is this magnificent movement happening within communities to rejuvenate and revitalize quality of life in the community. When I'm speaking to 1,000 people and I ask them, how many of you believe that big business and big government is going to take care of quality of life in your community? Virtually no hands go up. So we've arrived at that awareness.
Yes, that's a good start.
And now what do we do with that? And my awareness is that the change happens within us first, and that opening consciousness, opening that presence up through us, connects us to the oneness of our world, connects us to a sense of compassion and empathy and patience and understanding and co-creativity. It collapses ego, and it opens the life's possibility for itself through us.
Yes, well said. Tell us about the Global Summit, and there's a whole event that's going to happen in London after the Olympics, and tell us why you got involved in this and what you're hoping for.
It's a three-day event on the near the festival grounds of the Olympics, and I'm bringing my film festivals there. I've been doing some film festivals in Southern California, and I'm touring with that. And I'm showing people short films that we've gathered from around the world, and we've made some of them ourselves, that are showing solutions that have been created in communities around the world, solutions that are already working. And I love to think that we might be able to leapfrog solutions around the world with these beautiful films. Many of them are on my Conscious World Summit website now. Some of the films we're producing ourselves, and we'll be premiering films in the next few months that if you can't be in London, then you can see them on the website. And there are magnificent solutions that are being created all around the world. The mainstream media is not letting us see them. And this is one of the magnificent things about the internet and the web of enlightenment that we can create through it. So I'll be speaking in London, and we're showing our films there. And if anyone is listening and would like to have a Conscious World Film Festival event in their community,
bring it on.
ConsciousWorldSummit.com and send us a message. I thought I was going to be a network television reporter doing good things.
I'm sure you were.
And I was with the television networks in Canada, and I found that I had to color within the lines, and that there was a very small, tight box that the minds of the networks were fitting themselves into. The mind is not designed to be a box. It's designed to be an open presence, interacting with the energy around it, more like a satellite dish
or
a blossom.
It's an activity of awareness, it feels. It's not the power.
It is, and thought is measurable outside the head. And I am so excited about the potentials of the internet and the fact that we can make films and make them available to people around the world, that our website is translated into 54 different languages instantaneously. We really do have a global gathering, a global forum.
Peter McGugin, author of Occupy Consciousness, can be reached at ConsciousWorldSummit.com and is involved in the Global Summit in Post-Olympics London. For any guest information, to listen to archives and share resources, it's tributariesradio.wordpress.com. I'm Robin Clare. Thanks for staying tuned.